Chapter 18. "Here," I stated, held out the lab coat and offered it to the black-haired woman. "Put this on while we do the examination."
"What does this cloth mean?"
Ryan barked.
"Does it signify something? Why should I put this over my body? In my past life, I never had to wear clothing unless it was ceremonial. Why should I do it now?"
"Well, in normal society, it's required to wear clothes,"
Daisy explained as she gripped part of her dress between her fingertips and showed it to her new sister.
"Only those closest to us, such as Charles, are allowed to look at our naked bodies."
"Trust me, I hate it too,"
Valerie sighed.
"But you get used to it after a while. Not only that, but Charles can make you new clothes. He made what I'm wearing now, and I love it because he designed it himself."
"What about Daisy?"
Ryan asked.
"Did Charles design her elaborate coverings too? Do they have any meaning, or is it simply because this strange and unknown society says it's wrong?"
"No, I didn't design that. I don't think I'm skilled enough to put together a dress and then embroider it. I can roughly sew, but other than that, my hands are useless unless they're doing something doctoral or scientific."
"I'm sure your hands are useful for other things."
The imp woman giggled, leaned back on the examination table so that her full breasts swelled, and reached out for the lab coat.
"I will wear it. But only because Charles wishes it."
Ryan held the fabric in her hands, turned it upside down, flapped it once in the air, and then draped it over her shoulders. The dark-haired woman lifted her head, grinned up at me, and then gestured toward her still exposed and delicious-looking body. "That's not..." I breathed, shook my head, and then cleared my throat. "That's not how you wear it."
"Probe away, doctor,"
the imp woman boomed.
"My body is ready and waiting for your hands."
"Here, let me help you,"
Daisy giggled.
"You put your arms through the holes, see? Then you button up the front like this. See how the little pieces slip through the fabric?"
"What a strange and unusual piece of fabric,"
the imp woman whispered.
"Holes for arms? It almost sounds like a joke. But I will say, this does look quite attractive. Such a blinding white color against my red skin. And this little piece right here? It has no use. But it looks nice contracted against my breasts."
"Those are the lapels,"
Daisy explained.
"And the part around your neck is the collar."
"What fun words. I already love this world. I cannot wait to learn more about them. Charles, I demand you teach me more."
"Sure. I'll teach you everything you want to know. All right, let's get started. A.B., are you ready?"
"Yes, doctor," the brain breathed. "Begin with the examination."
I reached out for the small table I'd used in the other examinations, scooted it closer, and turned back to Ryan. The red-skinned woman sat perched upon the edge of the table. Her arrow-tipped tail whipped out behind her. She tilted her head curiously at me, purred softly, and then reached out for me with a single taloned hand.
"No, no, only I'm allowed to touch you during the examination. Let's start with the eyes, shall we? Do you see that chart on the wall over there?"
"The one with the body parts of humans on them?"
Ryan asked.
"What are those? Some type of meat chart? Look at all of that muscle and meat. It looks so red and delicious."
"That's not what I meant," I shook my head. "Humans aren't for eating. Well, some of them aren't. Can you read any of the lettering on the chart for me?"
"Are you sure humans aren't for eating?"
the imp woman asked.
"I mean, I've never eaten one, only bitten a few when they got too close. But I'm sure in this body, I could eat a whole one."
"No eating humans,"
Valerie chided.
"Humans are friends, not food."
"Unless they're direct threats to our family,"
Daisy agreed.
"Then we may allow you to eat someone, but that's only if they are out to harm us."
"Got it,"
Ryan nodded.
Humans are friends, not food. Unless they try to hurt my precious Charles or my sisters, and then I am fully allowed to consume their flesh.
Yes, but back to my question. Can you read anything off of the chart?
The female anatomy,
Ryan recited.
Bladder, liver, gallbladder, kidneys, lungs, ovaries, fallopian tubes.
All right, patient three has better vision than the average human, I stated. Not as acute as Valerie's, but a bit better than Daisy's.
I will do better in the dark,
Ryan assured me.
My eyes haven't adjusted to the amount of light on the surface. It was much darker underground.
You probably have night vision. Both Daisy and Valerie can see almost perfectly in the darkness because of the eyes they had prior to the experiment. I grabbed the flashlight from the small table, clicked it on, held it up in front of her face, and watched as the orange pupils dilated quickly. I swiveled the light over each side of her face and watched as the surface of each eye glowed a deep green. Just as I suspected, you have a tapetum, just like Valerie and Daisy.
What's that?
The feline woman asked.
A tapetum?
Most nocturnal animals have a mirror-like layer behind the retina, I explained. It helps them make the most out of small amounts of light. The light that passes through the retina is reflected off the tapetum, giving the retinal cells a second chance to sense it. It heightens the dulled sense of the eye in the darkness and allows them to see perfectly.
I had no idea.
The gorgeous feline woman gasped.
I knew that I could see in the dark, but I didn't know it was an actual part of my eye. I just thought it was a special power that I had.
No, it's already built in when you're born. We would move on to the ears, but you seem to have perfectly formed human ears.
I don't know about my sense of hearing, but there is a bird outside.
Ryan informed me.
A far tree, to the left of the house, roughly 10 feet from the strange gravel road.
Whoa, how do you know that? I grunted, glanced over at AB, and then turned back to the imp girl.
Vibrations,
Ryan stated.
I feel it through the ground, and my skin. It is like a tingling sensation throughout my body. My body also tingles when you are close to me, Charles.
That's fascinating. Can you feel anything else?
Yes,
the black-haired beauty replied.
There is a constant rumbling through the earth. It's coming from nearby. I can't hear the sound, but I know it is very loud from the vibrations. It's moving very fast in a straight line, and then a large curve.
Huh, I considered. It might be a stagecoach? There's an enormous station a few miles away from here. That sounds like you hear the stagecoaches leaving and entering into the station.
I don't know what a stagecoach is,
Ryan replied.
But if it is large and loud, then that's probably it. The sense came in handy down in our tunnels. I could sense if danger was coming or if there was prey near. But I'm not sure if it'll help me here.
It might come in handy,
Valerie offered.
We could sense when someone is approaching the manor or something like that.
That's very true. But it's still a very interesting skill to have. I'd say you probably have a functional cochlea, or inner ear. Human ears don't pick up on sounds or vibrations that small.
What's next, Charles?
Daisy asked. Nose and throat. Ryan, if you'll lean your head forward, open your mouth, and stick out your tongue. The red-skinned woman's jaw practically unhinged. My eyes bulged out of my head as her long, muted red tongue unfurled from her lips and almost brushed against the tops of her massive breasts. Her tongue had to be at least 6 inches in length, and that wasn't including the sliver of where it attached at the back of her throat.
Oh, my!
Daisy gasped.
Dang!
The feline woman gulped.
That's a big tongue!
I didn't want to admit it, but my first initial thoughts seeing the long appendage were nothing but sexual. I couldn't stop myself from imagining the soft pink length wrapping entirely around the throbbing length of my member, and I quickly broke myself away from those thoughts. Well, I chuckled. That was unexpected. Hold it there, please. I'm going to examine your throat.
With what?
Ryan garbled, wriggled her perfectly shaped eyebrows, and smiled sensually up at me.
"What did she say?" A.B. asked.
I'd heard her perfectly and knew exactly what she meant, but I pulled back the depressor, blinked once, and then gestured for Ryan to speak again.
"What are you going to examine my throat with, Charles?"
the dark-haired woman purred.
"Oh," A.B. replied. "Oh! Oh, my! Well, we like a woman who knows what she wants."
"Charles!"
Valerie giggled.
"Your ears are getting all red. Are you embarrassed?"
"I will be examining your throat with my flashlight and a tongue depressor," I forced out, ignored the growing erection in my trousers, and grabbed a wooden depressor from the small table. I slipped the metal stick into her mouth, pressed down on the middle of her tongue, lifted the flashlight, and peered down her throat. Most of Ryan's teeth were pointed and sharp like a predator's, and I vaguely remembered when the imp had bitten me down in the tunnels. I hated to imagine what the imp woman's bite would feel like now. I shook my head, cleared my throat, and peered toward her uvula. "Patient 3's teeth are more like a predator's than patient 1 or 2's," I uttered. "Only the top and bottom 4 are human-like, while the rest are pointed and sharp. Patient 3's tongue is extraordinarily long, measuring 6 inches in length. Ryan, please lift your tongue. I'd like to look underneath it, if you will." The dark-haired woman obliged, lifted her tongue into the air so that it almost brushed her forehead, and I spied a single small hole at the base of her tongue. I exhaled softly, glanced in her eyes, and then smiled. "Can you, retract your tongue for me?" I asked. Ryan didn't speak, nodded once, reeled in her tongue, and I watched as it slipped back into its moist resting place. I aimed the flashlight at it, squinted, and then tapped the rounded cartilage with my tongue depressor. "Patient 3's tongue can move independently. I suspect that it either curls down her throat or up over the brain, much like the green woodpeckers. Can you grasp things with it?"
"Would you like me to try?"
Ryan simpered, ran her hand over my forearm, and leaned in closer. No, never mind. We will test that at a later time."
"In private?"
A.B. chuckled.
No,
I nearly shouted. We'll just do it sometime else."
"I can do it now if you'd like,"
the black-haired woman purred.
"I can show off all of my skills, Charles."
"There's no need for that just yet. Moving on." I pulled away, tossed the used depressor into a wastebasket, clicked off my flashlight, set it down, and then turned back toward the imp woman.
"What's next?"
Valerie giggled. "Reflexes," I uttered, reached for the table again, and plucked up the reflex hammer. "This won't hurt, I promise. Here, scoot to the edge of the examination table. Yes, just like that, and let your legs hang over the edge. I'm going to lightly tap your knee. Is that all right?"
"Yes, Charles,"
Ryan simpered. I brought the reflex hammer back, tapped it against the crook of her knee, and watched as the leg sprung forward and nearly kicked me in the elbow. I chuckled softly, nodded once, came around to the other side of the table, and repeated the action on her other knee. The leg shot up at the same speed, brushed against my forearm, and then came down to rest in place against the examination table. "Patient 3's reaction time is above average, faster than both Valerie and Daisy's time for their examinations. I'm going to test it further. Ryan, I'm going to toss these cotton balls at you. I want you to catch as many as you can. Do you understand?"
"Seems easy enough,"
the red-skinned woman shrugged.
"I'm ready, Charles."
I held 5 cotton balls in my hand, tossed 2 up toward her head, 2 from the left and then the last from the right. I barely blinked as I did it, but Ryan was nothing more than a blur before all of our eyes, and within a half of a second, the imp woman held all the cotton balls in one hand. Ryan smiled down at them, giggled lightly, hopped up on the edge of the table, leaned out, and offered them to me.
"By science! Patient 3's reaction time is faster than I've ever seen. I would say 10 times better than the average human's."
"Than the average human?"
Valerie asked.
"Does that mean she's faster than me?"
She has to be faster than me, then.
Daisy said.
I can't believe she did that. I didn't even see her hands move through the air.
I took the cotton balls from Ryan's hands, tossed them over onto the side table, stepped closer, and gazed into her burnt umber eyes. Before I could move away, Ryan's hand jabbed out, grabbed me by the lapels, and tugged me forward. Our lips came smashing together, but this time, I didn't fight against it, nor did I want to. The imp woman was the first to show immediate interest in me, and while it shocked me, I wasn't opposed to it. I gripped her by the hips and pressed myself into the warmth in between her spread legs. I could easily imagine myself making love to her, and I wanted nothing more than to caress her perfect body and feel her move underneath me in undulating waves. I hastily pulled away, took a shaky breath, ran a hand through my messy hair, and then smiled sheepishly at the red-skinned woman. Ryan's lips pushed out, her eyelids fluttered, she scooted closer, hung out over the edge of the examination table, and pushed out her enormous breasts in my direction. This new monster girl was going to give me a heart attack. She oozed sexuality out of her pores, and I physically had to stop myself from ripping off the lab coat and deflowering her right here in the middle of my laboratory, while my other two women watched. By the science, they would probably enjoy the show and urge us on. My life was insane now. All right, I think that's it for the examination. I'm not going to draw blood. We've pretty much confirmed that it's my blood that makes the experiment work.
But that leaves only one question left, Charles,
A.B. sighed.
What are we going to do about the chief constable?
What about her?
Valerie snickered.
She's dead and gone anyways. We finally have our third sister, and she's absolutely perfect.
No, we have to find an actual solution. She's the chief constable for science's sake. She can't disappear without explanation.
Charles?
Daisy yawned.
Are you all right?
I'll be fine, I assured her. I just need to think of our next steps. I glanced at Valerie and Daisy. The bear girl leaned her head against her shoulder, blinked a few times, and then hid a yawn behind her hand. Valerie's blue eyes were slitted, and from the bags underneath them, I could tell she was tired from the long day. You know what? Why don't we relax for a bit? It's not like anyone knows that Hortensia is missing yet. We don't have to come up with a resolution right now. We could easily brainstorm it tomorrow. Why don't you go upstairs, eat dinner, and unwind for a bit?
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
The feline woman sighed. What are you going to do? Lie down for a nap?
I'm going to get Ryan settled in.
The gorgeous feline woman giggled, threw her arms into the air, rushed over, and then hugged the imp woman.
Maybe find her something to wear, and then maybe lay down for a few hours.
Daisy? I asked. And you?
I think I'm going to retire to your library and read.
The brunette smiled.
Or, if you'd like me to, I'll cook you dinner and then draw you a bath.
That won't be necessary. I'm sure I could cook myself something up. Go enjoy your evenings. It's been a long day, and we all need to rest for a little bit. I'm going to grab something to eat, and we can figure out what to do tomorrow. I stood from the table, took a deep inhale, and then headed toward the door with the rest of my women behind me. Once out in the open, we split from each other. Valerie took Ryan's hand, led her toward the stables, and then disappeared inside. Daisy carefully stepped up the stairs, held the door open for me, and then disappeared up the stairs toward the second floor. I headed for the kitchen, stepped through the wide hall lined with suits of armor, and then prepared myself a small dinner with enough leftovers for the rest of my monster girls. I ate by myself at the round, little table, listened to Valerie's far-off voice, and smiled softly at the enthusiasm in her tone. I'd finally perfected the experimentation process, and I was proud of myself. I'd created three gorgeous, intelligent monster girls. Why wouldn't I be? Though I enjoyed my moment of solitude, I couldn't rest just yet. I still had a lot of problems on the horizon, and they all stemmed from the death of the chief constable. I tried my hardest to rack my brain for any solution, but I was entirely too overwhelmed to come up with a single idea. That's enough for one day, I sighed, stood, and dumped my empty plate into the sink.
I'll go upstairs and maybe lay down for a little while.
I climbed the stairs, stepped down the hall, and paused for a moment as a soft voice snaked out of an open door to my right. A soft smile spread over my lips. I leaned through the doorway and peered in. The room beyond was lined with tall shelves filled with books, with a squat desk in front of a wide picture window. Papers and more open books were scattered over the well-worn desk where I assumed Daisy had sat and read for a while, and I glanced at them for a few seconds. A small leather daybed was pressed against the single empty wall, and a light, woven blanket was tossed over its fabric. The room smelled of ink and parchment, old books, and, of course, the Bear Girl's natural sweet scent. My gaze settled on the small woman for a moment. I froze, and my heart hammered in my chest. Daisy sat on her knees in front of one of the towering bookshelves, leaned forward as she reached for a book on the low shelf. My eyes widened as the back of her short dress rode up and revealed her perfect round ass. My member throbbed eagerly in my trousers. As the light blue fabric lifted even more, she rested a single hand against the wood floor and revealed that she wasn't wearing any panties underneath that dress. I silently stepped in, hooked the door with my heel, and then quietly closed it. The click of the lock in the silent room was deafening, but Daisy barely reacted. Simply grabbed the book she was reaching for, sat back, and glanced over her shoulder. "My love, why aren't you wearing any panties?"
"The reason is simple, Charles,"
the brunette stated.
"I wanted you to see. That's all."
"Oh, really? Why would you do such a thing?"
"The itch is back,"
the brunette replied.
"And I've wanted you to touch me real bad, as you did before in the tent. Why don't you come over here and scratch it for me?"
Daisy pursed her lips, leaned forward, gripped the edges of the shelves, and bent over in front of me. I grunted loudly as the Bear Girl exposed her bare womanhood to me, and my penis fought hard against the fabric of my trousers. I needed it. I'd wanted it so badly when Ryan had touched me earlier, but now, as I stared down at Daisy, I couldn't hold back any more. "Oh, I need you, right now." I stomped across the room, grabbed the tiny woman by the waist, lifted her off the floor, turned, and then tossed her on top of the small leather sofa bed on the other side of the room. Daisy's chest rose and fell. She wriggled into a comfortable position on top of the bed and gazed up at me hungrily. I rested my knee against the daybed, grabbed the edge of her cyan dress, and then yanked it up. I gazed down at her cute belly button, moved my eyes toward the chocolatey brown tuft of pubic hair, and then the perfect pale slope of her womanhood. I used one hand to spread her legs, licked my pointer finger and thumb, and then swirled them across her rosebud. Daisy threw back her head, gasped for air, and then mewled airily as I slipped two fingers inside of her.
"Charles!"
the brunette gasped.
"I want your hard shaft deep inside of me. Stop playing with me and give it to me."
"As you wish." I pulled my hands away, ripped off my belt, threw it across the room, and then ripped down both my pants and underwear. My member sprung to life, twitched in the warm air. Daisy's eyes widened at my length and girth as if she were seeing it for the first time, and then she lifted her hips up toward me. I leaned forward, held myself up with one hand, and then looked deeply into her glossy golden eyes. Her plump lips were moist. She gazed back at me heatedly and then wrapped her arms around my neck. Daisy lifted her hips even more, gasped softly in my ear, and brushed the lips of her vagina against my head. I groaned through my teeth, slammed my eyes closed, and savored the sensation for a moment. I pressed the head of my penis against the warmth of Daisy's entrance, and the brunette squirmed excitedly beneath me. The stunning Bear Girl's hands tugged at me desperately. She panted open-mouthed, and I finally slid into her.
"Oh!"
Daisy tensed against me, not yet used to my girth and length, but I thrust it in slowly to relax the brunette.
Is that okay?
I panted, after it felt like her tunnel had relaxed a bit around my thrusts.
Yes!
She gasped. We made love for what felt like forever, and I made sure each thrust into her small body went as deep as possible. Finally, her body began to wiggle and thrash beneath me, and I knew she was approaching a beautiful climax.
More, Charles!
Daisy rasped in my ear.
Please, harder, faster. I've needed this for so long. Fill me to the brim with your love.
Yes. I couldn't take it anymore. I slammed into her and let out a low growl. Daisy's vagina wrapped around me like exquisite silk. She leaned her head back and screamed up at the ceiling. I pulled out slightly, gasped softly, and then I slammed back into her tight warmth. Then I gritted my teeth as I held back the orgasm that tittered on the edge and focused in on her radiant face. The Bear Girl's face was dotted with tiny glittering beads of sweat. Her short brown hair created perfect waves around her face. As I drove inside of her even faster, her round breasts bounced against the fabric of her dress with each movement, and I watched them enwrapped. I leaned forward, pressed my lips to hers, and she kissed me passionately as her tongue slipped into my mouth. The Bear Girl's arms tightened around me right as her sex did, and I purposely thrust in slower. I felt delirious, surrounded by the warmth and soft sounds of the Bear Girl. My inner thighs dripped with her sticky juices, and the room was loud with the sound of our wet bodies slapping together in ecstasy. I could have continued on this all day and night. Daisy's body was like a fresh, sweet river deep in the mountains, and all I wanted to do was drink from her. I pushed into her, felt her vagina tighten around me. She hooked her legs around my back, and each thrust drove me delirious with pleasure. Daisy's body was so soft, and I couldn't hold back from touching her. I thrust into her madly, which caused the brunette to cry out even louder, and the sound rang in my ears like music. "Oh, I'm close," I growled as my body throbbed inside of her, tensed as the orgasm rose to the surface, but I held it back as Daisy's body tightened underneath me.
"Yes, please, fill me up. I need it."
The sounds escaping her lips heightened, echoed off the walls, and came back to us. Her hands slammed down on my shoulders, her hips bucked against me, and finally, her vaginal walls tightened around my steel-hard member.
"Oh, Charles!"
The brunette threw back her head, squeezed her eyes shut, and let out a loud shriek of pleasure. Our bodies moved in time. She rode out her orgasm, but it only seemed to continue skyward as she moved against me even harder. Right as she reached the end, I felt my own orgasm reach the surface. It peaked and spiraled up into my abdomen. I thrusted it into her wildly. My own grunts escaped my lips, and I felt my frothy semen spray deep inside the walls of her convulsing cavern. I fell forward, buried my face in her neck, and took a roaring breath. Daisy wrapped her arms around me, pressed tender kisses to my cheeks, and then peered into my eyes. A small smile spread over her lips. She gasped for air and then whispered,
"I knew that would take your mind off of things."
Daisy giggled. "Oh, so you had all of this planned out?"
"From the moment I came upstairs,"
the brunette breathed.
"I knew you'd come be up here after eating."
"Well, you got my mind off of it. Thank you for that."
"Don't forget, Charles."
The Bear Girl smiled, snuggled deep into my neck, and then sighed.
"We love you very much, and we'll do anything for you. We'll figure out what to do about the Chief Constable. Don't worry."